Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So y'all be praying. We'll be having some couple services with baby dedications in the near future. So y'all be praying about that. We can get the mind of the Lord and do exactly what He'd have us to do. Let's read these first 12 verses, if you would, starting in just the very first verse. Colossians 1 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints which are faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doeth also in you since the day that you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is your faithful minister of Christ, who has declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, look at these last verses right here. Concentrate on 9, 10, 11, and 12. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. What's Paul praying about? What's he wanting us to pray about? To desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Look at verse 12, the fourth thing we'll look at, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, which has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, the saints in the fire of the Spirit. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
We're thankful for this day.
Yes.
Let us and pray out of heaven and for our lives, Lord. Let us take it. Let us take it with pride and run with hope in your destiny.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And I pray and praise for that.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for being here this morning. Now, there's so much meat in all of these. And of course, when you try to preach through an epistle, it's not the same as on in a Bible study. So, but what the Lord had on my heart this morning is for us to look at these verses 9, 10, 11, and 12 and look at four things out of these verses, I think, that will bless us and will help us so much because you and I, we need the Word of God flowing through us. You and I, we need to have the Word of God in abundance in our life. We need to have an assurance of what the Word says so we'll know who we are, we'll know who we're serving more intimately, and then we'll pull from that power rather than pulling from a void that is in our life. See, the devil wants you and I to operate in a void, but you and I, we're operating in the fullness of Jesus. Amen? Now, notice what he said there in verse number 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, heard of what? Heard of the love that they had. See, when you got born again, all of a sudden you just didn't love yourself, but you loved everybody. You loved your brothers and sisters. You had something that was not of yourself. You had the Holy Spirit of God shedding abroad in your heart his love. And he said, since we heard of that, here's what we started to pray, and we don't cease from this prayer. We desire. That this word desire, it means to crave. It means to put a pull on the promise of God. It means, actually, it means to require it to be done. In many places in the Bible, this same Greek word is translated require. So Paul says, I know that God has it for you. It's in his word. It's his promise. And I'm going to require the devil step back out of your life. I'm going to require all of those things where you can receive what God would have for you. We're not bullying God, but we're accepting and believing the promises. Amen. We require that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, mark this down in your Bible. First thing we're looking at is God's will, his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, you and I, a lot of times, Think about your spouse, or think about your parents, or think about your children, or whatever. You listen to them talk, and you know what their will is about a certain thing. You know, if you listen, it don't take too long that you know what's on their heart, what's on their mind, what's in abundance. But if we're not careful, we understand that they're talking about something. They got something on their heart. They got something on their mind. And if we'll key in on that, but we need to have the wisdom of what they're talking about and the understanding of what they're talking about. See, it's not enough to know. How many people do you know that they know this Bible? But that doesn't mean anything, because they know the Bible, but they don't know what the Bible means. See, you and I, we can take a scripture, and I think the Lord is wanting to really encourage us and give us direction this morning. God is revealing new gifts that have been in your life since you got born again. But they've been laying dormant. And now the Spirit of God is starting to awaken you and I to those gifts. And we know that we have an obligation with a great opportunity to work in those gifts, work out our calling. But we need to know what? We need to know what God's will is with wisdom and understanding, or we'll make a mess of it. You know, I've shared with you before that even though I didn't want to admit it and accept it, I knew that someday that God was going to put us and Don and I in a place of being pastors. And so when we'd drive around, I'd look at different churches and I think, I wonder if that's the one. Or I wonder how God would do this or how God would do all that. See, but that was just thinking with my own head. Didn't mean anything. I knew what His will was, but I didn't have the wisdom and the understanding to what? To walk that will out. And so this morning, I don't want you to be discouraged by some things that's happening in your life, but the way certain things look. I want you just to come back and say, I know that this is God's will, but maybe since it's not working exactly like I want it to, maybe because I don't have the liberty and the freedom, or I don't have the excitement or expectancy that I should, I need to come back and I need to get alone with the Lord and let Him show me some wisdom. Come on, God's word is wisdom. So you and I, we take the first dose of the word of God, and then we build on that. We add to the word of God as His Spirit unveils it to us, and that wisdom just starts coming into your life. And then you got to have knowledge. Right. See, it's not just enough to know, but you got to put them together, because wisdom will take what you know and it'll put legs on it. It'll show you how to operate in it. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So hold your place right here. We're coming right back. But turn with me to the minor prophet Daniel. And I want to show you how Daniel, how many believes Daniel heard from the Lord all the time? He was led by the Lord. He heard from the Lord all the time, did he not? But at the same time, Daniel was a man just like you and I, and he needed further instruction. Look at Daniel chapter 12, and for sake of time, let's read 8, 9, and 13. Daniel 8 and 9 says, and this is Daniel talking what he had just heard from the Lord. He said in Daniel 12 and 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Now mark that down in your Bible or in your Bible app. In other words, he heard everything that God had told him about what was going to, how this earth age that you and I are living in right now, how the dispensation of grace was going to close. He heard all of that, but he didn't understand it. See, a lot of times you and I, we hear God knocking on our heart, and He tells us to do something, and He wants us to make a change, make a correction, or whatever it might be. But we've got to make sure that we hear what He says, and then we understand what He's wanting us to do, or we'll get out of step with Him. And so He said, I understood not. Then said I, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Now look what God told him in verse 9. And He said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Aren't you glad the book of Revelation, it's open now? Come on, it's open. Jesus is that open door, that open book. But Daniel, living under the old covenant in the Old Testament, he just had a glimpse into what was going to happen. But as he had that glimpse, he was wanting to know more, and he was wanting to know what he was supposed to do. See, there's been so many times in my life that there was an anointing that fell. And I hope you can understand this and understand what I'm trying to say. I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you. But when God starts moving and opening up what dormant gifts is in somebody, He does it with an anointing. And everybody that is in the room that's sensitive to the Holy Spirit, You feel that. You pick up on that. And if you're not very careful, you'll think that God is wanting you to do that. Because it's so real, it's so true, and it's so powerful. And then if we're not careful, we'll get out and we'll get in somebody else's way. Or we'll hinder what God's trying to do because we just don't understand. And so we got to be loving to one another. We got to be forgiving to one another. We got to be encouraging to one another and not get in each other's way. Amen. But be there to hold each other up. And so here Daniel is. He's in that place and he says, God, I just don't understand. That's our answer. You and I, something that we're not understanding this morning. We just come to the God the Father in the name of the Son, Jesus. What's he going to do? He's going to do like Paul was praying for those at Colossae and Laodicea and Ephesus and Hierapolis. He's going to give them what? Wisdom. And so you got to believe that. I got to believe that. Now notice what it said in verse 13. God told Daniel, he said, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. So God tells Daniel, he said, don't worry about what I've revealed to you at this moment. It's not for you, but I wanted you to be a conduit. I wanted you to be a vessel that would get the message out. Amen. And so this morning, you and I are going to be in a place where we're going to be God's conduit. And sometimes the message is going to be for us. Sometimes it's going to be for somebody else. But we've got to have the wisdom of God to know what he's saying and who he's saying it to. And what our role is, amen? But we're going to find out how we can get that in and from the Word of God, not some of the time, not part of the time. It's not a hit and miss. You and I don't serve a hit and miss God. We serve a God that is on the throne and he's always mindful of you and I, amen? All right. So let's expand on this just a little bit more. Let's go to the New Testament while you're holding your place in Colossians. And let's look at Jesus. How many knows Jesus is our best bet always to look at? In Luke chapter 2, look at verse number 40. Luke chapter 2, verse number 40. It says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. And notice this, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, can you imagine? Here Jesus is. You know, his parents know what God has said through the angels. And you know, the Bible says that Mary held all that those things in her heart and she pondered them. She tried to understand everything that was being said and what was going to be accomplished. And so we've got to understand that when Jesus was born, that to be able to save you and I, to save the world, he had to go through what the Greek word is kenoo or kenosis. He had to empty himself out of all of his Godhead. He had to become fully human. Even though he was fully the Son of God, he had to become clothed with the same emotions and feelings and temptations. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in every way. That way he could help you and I with our temptations. And so, you know, if we're not careful, we think that God just looked down at Jesus and we want God to do the same thing to us. Just went poof and made him perfect. He had to be in the same place that you and I were. Amen. And so he had to grow. And it said that he was filled with wisdom. How? Because the grace of God was upon him. So you and I, we need to pray the prayer that Paul said to pray there in Colossians chapter 1. We need to pray for one another that we will be filled with wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God's will, where we can do what God would have us to do. Remember Jesus, now this is going to ruffle a lot of religious people's feathers, but Jesus almost got out of time. Say, oh yes he did. He didn't go with Mary, he didn't go with Joseph and go back home. He stayed where? In the temple. And for 3 days, he was lost, but he was in the temple. And all of a sudden, when he was in the temple, he got the revelation of who he was. So remember what he said? He said, I must be about my Father's business. Come on, that grace was bringing wisdom with understanding. And all of a sudden, when Mary come to him, he said, why did you do this? What did it say? He submitted himself unto them. Because he knew that it wasn't the time for him to do what he was supposed to do. And what did he do? He got filled with the wisdom and the knowledge, the understanding of what he was supposed to do. Look at verse 52. Verse 52, Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in what? wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. So Jesus, in the sense of being Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he's perfect and he lacks not anything. But when he was clothed in this tabernacle, this earthly tabernacle, he had to increase. And so you and I today, when we get born again, thank God we're saved, we're going to go to heaven, but you can't stay where you're at. When you get born again, you're a baby. This faith cannot take care of herself. She's got to have somebody to take care of her. Peyton Riley cannot take care of himself. He's got to have somebody to take care of him. Well, you and I, when we get born again, we've got to have the Holy Spirit to put people in our life, and we got to be willing to yield and submit and let that growth come up in our life. Amen. Now, it's not going to be easy. Now, I want you to mark this word down and look at it. Mark it down in your Bible. Jesus increased. Now, this word increased is the strongest Greek word that you'll study. I want you to go back to the old Western days with me and think about, I was trying to remember, what was the blacksmith's name in Gunsmoke? Anybody remember? When this come to me, I was just thinking about it. But anyway, that's what this word means. It means that the way that Jesus increased, the way that you and I are going to increase, it means with hammer and heat. Hammer and heat. In other words, Jesus, just like you would lengthen a piece of metal and then you would shape it into what it was supposed to be, that's what it took for him to come out of the mold of the flesh into the perfect will of God the Father. And it's going to be the same way with you and I. You got to be willing to stay in the fire, let the heat come on you, but you got to be willing. It's not God beating you up. It's the devil beating you up, but God uses all of those things to shape you and to mold you and I into what he would have us to be. Amen. Now, real quick, let's see how it plays out. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12, I believe it is. Let's see something. Maybe it's Matthew 13. I don't know. Just a second. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, look what it says about Jesus in verse 54. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 54, and when he was come into his own country, he, Jesus, taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So you and I, it's not enough to be working for the Lord. We got to have the wisdom to put with the works where they'll be successful. There's a lot of churches and a lot of people in churches that are doing a lot of things in the name of the Lord, but the Lord's not in it. Come on, just because something is the Lord's will doesn't mean that's the time for it. Just because it's the Lord's will doesn't mean that you're the one that's supposed to do it. I'm the one that's supposed to do it. We got to know what God's calling us to do. We got to know that will, that understanding, and we got to put it to practice. Amen. But you have this assurance that you're going to be able to do it because Paul said that you and I were to be praying for each other, that we would be not just have a little bit of the wisdom with understanding, but that we would be filled. Oh, glory. Come on, let's go back. Let's read that. Colossians 1, where were we at? Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This word filled is a word that it would be like if you had a fishing net and this net was completely full of fish. I mean, they were falling out the edge. That's what it means. But the word means more than that. It means that you're able to execute and satisfy the office that God has called you to. That means you're so full of wisdom. You're so full of understanding. You're so full of the anointing that gifting, that calling that God has put in your life, you're going to execute it. You're going to satisfy it, and you cannot fail. You're going to be successful. Amen? So what we got to do when we pray for one another, we just close our eyes and we just let the Holy Spirit bring each one of us up as he would in that timing. And we start off, we just say, Father, thank you for this person in my life. Thank you for this person in my church. And as you're praying in the natural, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will start inspiring you what to pray for them. And you'll start praying, and all of a sudden, the thing that is in their life that they need the most, the Spirit of God is going to hear your prayer. He's going to see their heart that they're hungry. Come on, say, I'm hungry. And He's going to start filling them up in that. Amen. You can bless me. Amen. I can bless you. We can bless one another because we're going to do what Paul was instructed by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, to do. This is not stopped. Come on, this will come, keep going and going until the coming of the Lord. We're to do it. Amen. But we're going to do it and going to succeed. He said, I desire that you might be filled, that you're going to be to execute this office with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Are you hungry for it? I believe you are. And that's all we got to do is be hungry. And if we're hungry, He's going to do it. Now drop down and look at verse number 10. What happens when this wisdom with understanding comes in our life? Verse 10, that you might walk worthy. Mark this down. This is the second thing we're looking at out of four things. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in how many good works? Every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Wow. Now, wait a minute. Mark that down in your Bible. He said that I would be increasing in the knowledge of God. But wait a minute. We just prayed in verse 9 that we might, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. But here He says that you may be what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. See, you don't know what's in you this morning. When you got saved, when you got born again, every gifting that God ever had for you, every plan that God ever had, everything that was written in His book was placed in your spirit. Amen. We got to put it to practice. So what we've got to know is that we pray that we can see that it's in us, first of all, that we have the faith to believe that, but then we've got to have the faith to start searching out on the inside of us what God's placed there and come to the knowledge of that and put it to practice. And He said when we've done that, that we would start walking worthy. This word walk, it means to live. It means to live under the value that God has placed on you. Think about the value that God has placed on you. The Bible says that the only thing that could buy you back, that could redeem you, was the precious blood of the Lamb. That's how valuable you are in the eyes of God. And so He said that you and I are to walk worthy. We're to live according to the value that God has placed on us. You don't have time to talk to the devil. You don't have time to talk to any person that wants to be used by the devil and be negative and try to influence you and discourage you. You don't have time for them because God said that you were worth His Son. You were on His mind and that He was going to be talking to Jesus and Jesus was going to be talking to Him every day about what you were being touched by. Amen. So you don't have time for none of those things. You've got to be in the place where you're continually being filled with this knowledge and this truth where you can operate in liberty and victory and you can be in that perfect, proper place. Now, whether we want to admit it or not, the hardest thing for you and I to do in our life is to let go of things. Whatever it is, we don't want to pick things up, but after we pick them up, then we don't want to let go of them. Or we'll say, okay, I'm going to let go of this, but you better do this the way I want it done. God's in control, not me. Amen? And so God knows what's best, and He knows how to lead, guide, and direct people, and He will do it because He is perfect in that. Amen? Now, they may have to have a little help. I may have to have a little help. But guess what? God is our help. The Lord is our help. Amen? So we need to be in a place, in a position where we don't hold other people back. So I ask the Lord in the name of Jesus, anything that I'm holding on to this morning, that in the name of Jesus, I open my hands, I open my heart. I don't want to hold on to it. I want God to have full control of it. That way it's blessed. It has liberty. It has freedom to do everything God would have it to be done. Amen? That's power. That's victory. Amen. See, we're going to go through this book of Colossians. Colossians is going to conquer everything in your life, everything in my life that would keep us being Christ-like. Isn't that exciting this morning? Oh, hallelujah. All right. Now notice he said that you might walk worthy. So go back one epistle. Hold your place there in Colossians. I mean, two epistles. And go to one epistle. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Yeah, two epistles. Go past Philippians and go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at this walk worthy. Live under the value of the Lord. Ephesians 4:1. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Paul is our, as he said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? You know, when Paul says that I'm a prisoner of the Lord, you know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm a love slave. In other words, because of love, he chose to be a slave to the Lord. Amen? What's our choice? We're going to be a slave to the world, ourself, or the Lord? I mean, there's only two choices. I mean, which is it going to be? I want to be a slave to him, don't you? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you what? That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Every one of you have a calling. Every one of you have giftings. Now, you can use your giftings, you can use your callings for yourself, for the world, or you can use it for the Lord. But he said for us to see our value that God has placed on our lives, and let's live by that value which will make us free. And let's take that calling that he's gave us and let's live it to the freedom that we can have in Jesus. Amen? And what happens when we start doing that? Look at verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So, if you and I are really live with this mentality of how valuable we are, then we'll look at our brother and sister and we'll see the same value in their life. We're talking about getting to a place and a position where the devil can't divide us. See, the devil doesn't want you and I to work together in harmony and unity. He doesn't want us to work together in liberty and freedom and peace. He'll do anything he can to try to steal the peace of God out of our lives. And so we got to be in this place. He said, what do we have to do? Look at this. We got to have a lowliness attitude. We got to esteem each one better than ourselves. We've got to see how Christ abased himself. The Bible says that Jesus emptied himself out and made himself to the lowest position that you and I might be elevated with him, that we could sit with him on the throne of thrones. Come on, we're seated in heavenly places with him when we get saved. That happened because he went to the lowest place for us. So with all lowliness and with meekness, this is gentleness. Isn't that something you have to drum up? That is a fruit of the Spirit. You just have to let that fruit, I have to let that fruit come out of my life. Amen. And we have to have this gentle attitude. He said, with long suffering, with patience, forbearing one another in love. The word means forbearing here. It means to put up with. Okay. You're just going to have to put up with me. In love. Love will enable you to put up with things that you don't like, you don't understand, confusion, hurt, heartache, all those things. Love will cover that because the Bible says love covers a multitude of. Love is the way to victory. Because nobody knows why a person does something or thinks something but the Lord. Because you can't, I can't, we can't read the heart. But God can. And so there's some things that we don't even need to go there. Because if we did know why that situation was there, it would alter how we looked at a person. And it would also open a door for that same work of the enemy to come into our own life. Amen? We've got to be careful what we ask for. And look what happens. Verse 3, he said, endeavoring. This word endeavoring, it means to use speed, to be diligent, to give your best effort, to keep the unity, the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, everything, you're going to have opportunity. Just some things just don't even give place to. The Bible says, neither give place right to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Don't even think about it. Don't even go there. When you start to talk about it, let the Holy Spirit help you to shut your mouth and just don't even talk about it. Because if we don't ever talk about it, we don't give a place for him to work in our lives. Amen? All right, go back to Colossians, since I've got you so excited. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. Notice this, all pleasing, being fruitful to every, so all and every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, God is calling you and I to step out in faith and to share what God is putting in our heart, revelation, unction, guidance, and direction, and then see where it lands. So, and if it's for us, then we're going to increase in the knowledge to know how to bring it to pass. If it's for someone else, then they're going to receive that. They're going to increase in the knowledge to bring it to pass. Because God's not going to let His word return unto Him void. Come on, it's going to accomplish what He sent it there unto. You have that assurance and that confidence. And so He said that in all pleasing and every good work. See, God's a God of the all. The devil's a part God. He's God of this world. But He just has parts of things. God has it all. The earth is the Lord's and the... So anything that's not all and whole in your life, then we need to come back and we need to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, just as Paul prayed for those at Colossae and Laodicea and these other churches, I pray for me, I pray for my church family. Show me where I don't have an all, where I don't have everything. Show me why. Give me the word that I can repent, I can renounce, I can reject, and then I can replace it with what you're saying. Amen? Or He's going to build you stronger and stronger. You're going to get more encouraged. You're going to have more liberty, more freedom. You're going to see success come easier. Some of those things that you and I are bashing our head against the wall that's so hard, it's going to get easier and easier. And if I've made it hard on somebody, I repent in Jesus' name. I want to make it easier. Amen? Not harder. Verse number 11. Let's look at the third thing about what happens when we do these first two. Then all of a sudden we get strengthened. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with how much might? Wow. This word might, kratos, it's a Greek word that talks about Jesus' dominion. How much dominion does Jesus have? So you and I, if we'll do these first two steps, he said when we come to this third step, that we're going to be strengthened with the dominion of Jesus. And all of a sudden, we're not going to be noticing these little things that we used to notice, hear these little things that we used to hear. We're not going to be distracted by the work and the tales of the enemy or the things of the flesh. We're not going to smell the things of the flesh. Because we're going to smell the things of the anointing of God. We're going to be walking in them. And it's going to be so sweet that it's going to get easier and easier. Have more liberty, more freedom, a deeper vision to be able to walk in that. Because we're letting Him strengthen us. This word strengthen, from the Greek, it means to enable. To enable. Now, there's one verse. Hold your place here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Let's look at where this is used. Out of the mouth of Jesus, the same word. It's strengthened here, but Jesus brings it forward in a little different manner. Look in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into the far country, and he called his own servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. See, of course, this is Jesus and you and I. Come on, this is Jesus, and this is you and I. Look what he says in verse 15. And he, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Notice this, not because he loved one more than the other, but to every man, woman, boy or girl, every person, according to that person's several ability, and straightway took his journey. That's the same word as strengthened in the Greek. See, God gave each one of you and I a several ability. He enabled us to do different things. He doesn't want you to do the same thing as somebody else. Don't let the devil get you on a guilt trip and say, I've got to do what this person's doing to be a blessing, to be successful. That's a lie. No, I don't. See, you have an anointing to do certain things. And if I get in that anointing, I'm getting on dangerous ground because God gave you the anointing to do it. And the anointing that you carry, now listen very carefully. So many times you say so many things and people hear other things, but the anointing that you carry, it enables you, it empowers you. But if I get involved in that anointing, it will destroy me because I can't handle it. I wasn't made to handle it. and I'm stepping into something that's not my office, not my calling, and then we've got problems. Amen? So Jesus said, I gave to every one of my children several ability. In other words, I gave every one of my children the enabling by my dominion. I want you to get this in your heart this morning. The devil has no power in your life. He has no dominion in your life because Jesus said all power.
All of it.
How do we receive it? He said, go. If you're not walking in that power, then you're not going where God called you to go. And then that may not be, I'm not talking about going to a foreign land. I mean, just go in His will, His revelation. It may be going to your prayer closet or whatever it might be. That's between you and the Lord. That's nobody else's business. But as long as we're going in His will, then all of a sudden you have that dominion. You're enabled and you're in that place where you can be productive because the five produced in five more talents. The two produced two more. And the one that didn't was just simply because he didn't believe the Lord. Say, I believe the Lord. You're going to produce. Amen? All right. Verse 12. When we do all of this, he said that, well, let me go ahead and read verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. All of these things is starting to produce fruit. Verse 12. It enables you and I, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, God's qualified us, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All of a sudden, you and I are able to give thanks for that thing that we didn't understand. How many times does in your life, you think about it, somebody starts doing something, and you know it's of God, and you start praising God for it. But then all of a sudden, as they're walking in that will in that way, it gets expanded. And you go, now, wait a minute. I was all right with them doing it this way, but now this is starting to bother me just a little bit. It destroys churches. We've got to be so careful. God is wanting to do something so amazing here, but He's having to put you and I through the Holy Spirit of Truth's work, the Holy Spirit of Truth's pressure in our life to prune us and to purge us and to get us in that place where none of these things will be detrimental to what God would do, but it'll be detrimental to the plan and the work of the enemy. Amen? He said, giving thanks unto God the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers. Now, I want you to think about this giving thanks, because if we're not careful, you and I, we get it in our head, if I don't feel a certain way, I can't give thanks. But our feelings, like was said this morning, Brother Corey said this morning, has nothing to do with an act of faith. Because when you and I, when we give thanks, that's what it is. It's an act of faith, because a lot of times I don't feel thankful. I feel discouraged. All the things, you know what I'm talking about. We all go through these things. But I want to use this same word where Jesus, turn with me to Matthew 26, and look where Jesus used this same Greek word. And I want you to show you from the Word of God how you can be emboldened and empowered. Matthew chapter 26, let's start with verse 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. We used this the other night in our communion service. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. But I want you to notice this part right here about giving thanks. Verse 27. And he, Jesus, took the cup and gave thanks. This is the same Greek word. And gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Now, this ought to help you and I so much. Can you imagine? Here Jesus is. He's done broke the bread, which was a type of his body. What was going to happen to him in just a matter of a few hours. And then he took that juice, this fruit of the vine, and he gave it to them. And he gave thanks to God the Father that he could give that to his disciples. Now, when he gave that to them and he gave thanks, he knew that that was a type of his blood that was going to be shed. He was going to bleed out on the cross for you and I. But yet he lifted his hands and he gave thanks. And then he said, I want you to drink ye all of it. See, we can give thanks when things aren't going well. We can give thanks when we're in pain. We can give thanks. Can you imagine Jesus had a soul. I'm not talking about his spirit now. I'm talking about his soul. He had a soul just like you. Of course, he had a spirit just like you, because we worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. But he had a soul. That means his mind, will, and emotions. The Bible said that as he was praying in the garden, remember, that he almost had a stroke. That was the plan of the devil, a stroke that kills you, because he was sweating great drops of blood. You think he wasn't in an emotional situation? Because everything of the God's plan from the foundation of the world was coming right to that moment of time. And the devil wanted to kill him before he went to the cross, because if he could have, then you and I wouldn't have what we have today. So you can imagine the emotions. And so Jesus, knowing all of this in his heart, as he's having progressive revelation, he's having unction by the Spirit of God, he gave thanks. So when the Bible tells you and I, back to Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father. If we learn how to give thanks for these things that's bothering the soul, that's bothering the flesh, the devil can't touch you. You're going to always succeed. We're talking about how to be conquerors, how this epistle is going to show you and I how to conquer. It's going to show us how to have the victory. It's going to show us how to bring God glory in every situation of our life. This is how we do it. And we just do it by faith. And we know that Jesus, everything that we do, Jesus has done paved the way for us to do it. In other words, if I try to do it in myself, I'm going to come against a wall that I will never get through. But if I do it in the pattern of Jesus, Jesus is the open door. He's done made the way for me to walk in it. You can walk in it this morning. Amen. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the children in light. Say, I'm a child of the fire. See, you're a child of the altar, and the altar has the fire of God on it. And that fire is burning hotter and hotter. It takes away all the impurities. Self is out of the way, and only the Savior's there. Come on. I want the Savior instead of self, don't you? We're going to have that. All right. I want to close with this thought. I want you to really work on these verses of Scripture this coming week, and then to get us to where God would have us to go week by week. But I want you to think about this just for a moment. Now, and all of these things, Paul said, that as we're praying these things, that we're going to start seeing more freedom, we're going to start seeing a greater increase. But when we do that, we've got to be in the place where we're very cautious about what we say. Because if we're not careful, what we say can undo everything that God has done in our life, what he's doing in our church. So if there's any confusion, if there's any struggle, if there's anything, take it to the Lord first. Our first thing is we want to take it to our brother or sister. That'll never work. Take it to the Lord first. I don't know how many times I've took something to the Lord, and then all of a sudden, I didn't have to take it to nobody. And if I'd listened to him and took it to him first instead of to my brother or sister, then I wouldn't be trying to, next 3 months, trying to fix something that I'd said and done. Amen? So I want you to imagine this. I want to close with this thought. You know, every one of us is in school, we've read Aesop, and all of his fables and stuff. So I want you to think about this fable that he wrote. It fits for this perfectly. He writes about this beautiful pond, and around this pond is all sorts of ducks. It's in the middle of a meadow, and there's trees around. Got all these beautiful blue sky and white clouds, and there's a turtle out there sitting on a log in the middle of that lake, and that turtle is always watching the ducks fly by. They'll come into the water and land, and then they'll go up and they'll fly by, and he'll watch them. And so he had made friends with these ducks in this fable. And he asked the ducks, he said, "What does it look like? What is this? What is our little pond? What does this meadow look like when you're flying up like that?" He said, "I wish so bad I could see it." And they said, "Okay, you want to see it? Then we'll grab a stick and we'll put it, each one of it, in our bills," and said, "You grab a hose of the middle of that stick with your little snappers and hold on to it with your mouth," and said, "We're going to fly you up and we're going to show you everything that you've been missing." So that's exactly what they did. They got the stick, they put it in their bill, the turtle, he put it in his mouth, and up they went. And as they were flying all around, he was seeing things he never saw before. In the spirit, when you and I get along with the Lord, we're going to see things that we never saw before. We're going to see it from the perspective of the Lord rather than the self. Come on. So he's flying around and he's so excited because he's seeing things he never saw before. But all of a sudden, here comes a covey of crows. And this one crow looks at him and he says, "My, oh my, right there, it must be the king of all turtles." And when he said that, all of a sudden, the turtle was filled with pride and he opened up his mouth and said, "Yet." See, you and I, we wouldn't even be saved if God hadn't had grace on us. He lifted us up out of our sin, out of ourself, out of this fallen world. And so we have nothing to be prideful of in ourselves. But we need to learn to give thanks. And we need to see value in one another. Don't judge your brother. Don't judge your sister. I can't judge my brother or my sister. Amen? Come on. And let's just, if we're going to open up our mouth, let's give thanks. Let's give thanks. And when we do, we're going to see some amazing things happen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for this message, Lord, that you have just brought to us this morning. The word is going to cause us to grow and build us together in unity. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I ask you right now before this group of people, anything that I need to let go of, anything I need to repent of, Lord, bring it across my heart. I trust you. I want to yield everything to you, and I want this group of people to succeed like never before. I want them to have liberty and freedom. I want them to be able to walk in every gifting, every calling. I want them to be able to be a part of sharing, of being used in the prophetic to bring out giftings and calling. I want us just to be in that place where we are a New Testament church. Lord, let it be. Correct us in love. Speak the truth to us and help us forever be changed and help us to stay humble. Help us to keep our mouth in the place of giving thanks. If our mouth is giving thanks, you said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means that you are in our heart in abundance. Lord, let it be. Touch every person right now. Bring direction, bring encouragement, bring strength as only you can. We ask you in the name of Jesus, and we praise you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch us right now. Draw us with your spirit. Lord, help us to be able to just come to that place and that promise of what you're wanting to do in us and through us. Lord, right now, draw us to a place where we just lay our heart right on your altar. We open up our lives completely to you, unashamedly, because of your goodness and your grace. And let us hear the words that you're speaking to your servant. Just as Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant is listening." That's what we say to you this morning. We say, "Speak to us, Lord. We are listening. We want to do what you'd have us to do for your glory." Let it be in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar? Or make you one at your seat, whatever you choose to do. But just let the Lord talk to you this morning. Let him give you a new place of liberty and freedom in your life. Because he's bringing truth to you. He's showing you how to be in a place where you can just be emboldened to walk worthy. That you can just be in that place where you're just strengthened. You're in the place of thankfulness and all of these things. Would you come this morning and just spend some time with him? Let him love on you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, touch and draw each person here. Help us to yield to you. Help us to hear personally from you. Let us leave here just emboldened in you. Oh, we ask you in Jesus' name.